The House will come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Unless you're here by accident, you've made the wise decision to listen to a brand new episode of Capital Ideas. This is the podcast where members of the majority Democratic contingent of the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol high above the beautiful waters of Bud Inlet and talk about ideas. Today we've got a few minutes with Representative Edwin Obras, appointed just a few months ago to be the voice of his fellow residents of the 33rd Legislative District. If you don't have all your districts memorized, just think SeaTac International Airport and the cities that surround it in South King County. Representative Obras will tell you all about it in just a second. We recorded this conversation on Wednesday, March 26th, day 73 of the 2025 legislative session, and here it comes. Welcome to Capital Ideas, Representative Edwin Obras from the 33rd Legislative District. It's good to have you for your first Capital Ideas, and thanks for coming by.
I'm so happy to be here. It's been a while since the session started, and I'm excited to be here to give you and the listeners an idea about who I am and why I'm here.
That's exactly what we want to do today. First, tell me about the 33rd District.
Sure. The 33rd District comprises SeaTac, which is home to SEA, Seattle International Airport, Burien, Normandy Park, Des Moines, and parts of Kent. The 33rd Legislative District is a dynamic community. It's diverse. We've got in the Kent Valley industrial land. We've got waterfront in Des Moines and Normandy Park and Burien. Small businesses in Burien, a huge part of the economic vitality of Burien. And SeaTac has a lot of our service industry folks who live there because they work for the airport or the adjacent businesses next to it. So lots of dynamic things happening in our communities. It is super diverse. A lot of our refugee and immigrant populations chose to settle in our community, and it's wonderful to see how they've grown and how the children and families are really progressing and blossoming in the community.
And just as a side point, SeaTac was maybe the first city in the state that had a good living wage as their minimum wage.
It was the fight for 15 about 10 years ago, and SeaTac, I'm proud to have lived there for 23 years now, and we as a community have come a long way in supporting our families. The fight for 15 was really a template and a blueprint for many other cities around the state to ensure that working people can live in the state and flourish.
They can even live in the same city where they work, which is pretty unusual for some of the bigger cities.
Absolutely.
You were appointed to the legislature to replace Representative Tina Orwall, who became Senator Tina Orwall, when Senator Karen Kaiser decided to retire. So this is your first session. You've been a legislator for now, let me see, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 months. How's it going?
That's a great question. There's a number of appointees this session. I think I was one of the first ones who was appointed, and it has been one of the most fulfilling and stressful and everything in between job that I've ever had. What keeps me going every day is really thinking about the people I'm serving and understanding the issues affecting them, and that we are on the front line of creating impact for working families, immigrant families, children who may not have enough food at home. And so when you ask that question, it's a pretty loaded question because there's so many emotions that go through my mind when I try to describe how I'm feeling about the work. And again, it is one of the most fulfilling jobs I've ever had. And knowing that I'm making decisions today that could impact families and our communities for the next generation is not lost on me. And I understand how important this job is. So I get up every morning, as hard as it is. I keep the people and community as my North Star. And I just hope to continue this work as hard as it is. If it's not hard, you ain't doing the work. I'm sorry. It truly is an honor to be here in Olympia representing the 33rd Legislative District.
And one of the things that might set you apart from many of your colleagues now is that most of your career has been in the field of helping people and having an influence over the lives of people who need some help. You've been with the Seattle Human Services Department for well over a decade. You've been a volunteer with a whole lot of organizations up in King County, including Seattle. You're the former president of
the Filipino community of Seattle.
Exactly. And so when you come in here and you start working on bills that basically exemplify, for want of a better word, empathy, you've had a little experience at that, haven't you?
I have. And thank you for doing your research on me. Pretty good description of my career and the service that I've given to the community. For 17 years, I've worked for the City of Seattle Human Services Department in different areas around homelessness, youth development, and right now, community safety, which includes services to survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. The work that I do aligns with really our democratic values, our values of taking care of our neighbors, ensuring that there's equity, and ensuring that people are self-sufficient. We have invested as taxpayers, systems and institutions to ensure that we're a healthy community, and I've always been a part of that. So whether it's been my 17 years in the City of Seattle working on countywide issues, but also during my free time helping build affordable housing for seniors at the Filipino community of Seattle, it's part of who I am. And it is really my identity of helping people. And that's why I'm here in Olympia, to ensure that people have the resources and are part of our democracy and engaging and advocating for themselves.
A question occurs to me, which is this. You have a bachelor's degree. You have a master's degree. You've got some other graduate training. In the time it took you to gather that education together, you could have become an attorney. You could have knocked out part of medical school. You could have become a real estate broker or any number of things that, while being fine professions, respectable, they also aren't oriented necessarily towards the kind of public service that you have devoted much of your adult life to. And I just am interested in why.
That's a great question. There's been a lot of folks who have been influential in my life. When I was at the University of Washington over 30 years ago, a woman by the name of Velma Valoria ran in the 11th Legislative District. When I saw who she was, it was like looking into a mirror, and I had never experienced that before. That was the most empowering thing, that somebody who was Filipino-American was actually running for public office. I became one of her super volunteers because I was so inspired. I believed in her platform, healthcare for all. She was talking about that 30 years ago, economic empowerment and healthy communities. 2 years later, I ran her campaign. And so although I haven't served here in Olympia, I've always had the pulse of what was happening. It's been over 30 years since that time, and I was appointed. And there has never been a Filipino-American who served in between us. And that's a little bit of a shame, because there's 200,000 Filipinos in Washington State. And when we talk about representation and what that means to folks, it means that people can look into Olympia and look into a mirror as well and see that somebody like them is in a position where they can make important decisions about our communities, our laws, and how it affects everyday lives.
This podcast is about you, not me, but I do feel that it might be appropriate to point out that Representative Velma Valoria was on the small hiring committee that decided about 30 years ago that I would be good as a member of the staff here at the House Democratic Caucus. And so every time I see Velma Valoria, I hug her tightly.
Yes, we all do. She's not just a treasure, but she's also a resource for so many people. She encouraged me to seek the appointment. She's been my mentor for over 30 years, and I just adore her.
You're one among many. As an appointee, you came in here probably a little surprised. It's not like you had started a year ago campaigning for this office and come up with a platform and a bunch of bills that you wanted to run. surprisingly, you've got several bills, at least a few, that have made it over to the Senate. They've passed out of the House and they're in the Senate. You also have been the sponsor of what's called companion bills down here, which are essentially identical bills that are introduced in both chambers. A couple of your bills, at least, that did not move too far in the House have come through in the Senate, and they're now coming over to the House. So you've been pretty successful here, and I want you to pick out maybe two of the bills that you've sponsored or that you have fostered and are now sort of guiding now that they've come over to the House, and talk about those bills.
Yeah, I am was fortunate to land in the Labor Committee. I'm also on Public Safety and Healthcare. And I'm very proud of having prime sponsored at least three bills that is really about worker protections. Two of them did move through the House and is now at the Senate. We've had committee hearings, hopefully going to go through rules. One of them I have worked extensively with the stakeholders is the transportation network corporations. And that was a bill that really the impetus was from the drivers who sought to gain some protections around their vehicle product classification. Companies have to make some decisions that make sense to their business plan. But unfortunately, many times that can be at the cost of our workers. We put in a couple of things that the drivers really needed. One was to ensure that they had an aggregate, searchable, downloadable report of their earnings. We call them per trip receipt report. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but it really meant that it gave the drivers an ability to audit themselves and ensure that they were getting paid what was due. And it also brings some accountability to the companies that they work for.
Let me interrupt and ask, what kind of drivers are these? Are we talking about Amazon drivers or Uber drivers or somewhere in between?
I'm glad you asked, because I think I missed the fact that transportation network corporations for this bill are typically Uber or Lyft drivers.
Okay.
And the other part of the legislation that has moved over to the Senate includes giving some of those drivers who were removed off of their product classification. Basically, they have luxury vehicles that were kicked off the rolls, and the TNCs are allowing them to come back for at least a year. And that gives them, the drivers, some time to figure out a new business plan for themselves, maybe restructure their car loans. And the drivers feel like that's a win for them because they fought hard for this legislation. And I'm really so glad to have met many of these folks who live in my community who drive people to and from the airport in my own backyard. And I hope we can continue to work together and resolving any kind of ongoing issues.
And this bill looks like at this point it's headed towards the governor's desk.
Yeah, I hope so. And there's also the isolated workers bill. A few years ago, there was some legislation that identified isolated workers and sought some protections for them. Isolated workers could be hotel housekeeping, security guards, janitors who work pretty much by themselves. And many times, particularly women who are housekeepers, may be assaulted and can be violent at times. And so this bill puts some teeth into some compliance where the LNI ensures that there's compliance around folks' safety. LNI will ensure that there's a panic button, that there's training involved, and ensuring that reporting requirements are being followed through. So I'm really proud of this bill. It's really about working people throughout the state of Washington. We have a lot of hotels in the district because of the airport, and so this will affect the very people that live and work in the 33rd.
Are you having fun?
I am having a blast. I'm not embellishing. I take learning opportunities as that, and this is the biggest and best opportunity I've had to learn. Olympia is an interesting place to work, and it is also the most impactful place to be at. I can't say enough about how important it is that we are literally affecting people's lives today, tomorrow, and in the future. And I wouldn't change anything about it. As stressful as it can be, as sometimes chaotic as it can be, we've been up 2:30 in the morning on the House floor taking votes. I wouldn't change any of that, as bizarre as that sounds. I just think that this is the best opportunity that I can have personally to ensure that I continue in my pathway to serving people.
It looks like you're pretty well situated in that pathway. I just have a couple of more questions to ask. One is, What kind of dog do you have?
I have a couple of dogs. I have a 9-year-old Labradoodle. I got him from a family that was rehoming him 8 years ago. I had no idea what a Labradoodle was. I just thought, oh, that's a cute dog. And then during COVID, I decided that my Labradoodle Kobe needed a sibling. And why not? It was COVID. And so I reached out to a family that was rehoming their Spanish water doodle. And so we're a family of doodles. It was by accident. It wasn't intentional. It just so happened that these doodles were being put up for adoption to be rehomed.
Good for you. And how long have you been riding an e-bike?
I've been riding an e-bike since COVID. So about 2020, the streets were pretty safe to ride around. And that's a little bit of my plug for more bike lanes, particularly in South King County, where I think there's an opportunity to get people out of their vehicles and into bikes and ensuring that they get around in a safe manner.
I wish you the best on that as a bicyclist myself. For purely selfish reasons, good luck on that.
Thank you.
Representative Edwin Obras, I have really enjoyed sitting here and getting to know you a little bit. Thank you, Edwin, for coming by, and this has been Capital Ideas.
Thank you.
Now you know Representative Edwin Obras, and I imagine you're glad that you do. If you're a subscriber to Capital Ideas, thank you. If you're not, but you'd like to have these pop up on your favorite device every time there's a new one, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever podcast aggregator you fancy. You can also subscribe by visiting the House Democratic Caucus website at housedemocrats.wa.gov and clicking the media button at the top of the page. Choose Capital Ideas on the drop-down menu and move to the top right of the page that opens. Then click whatever you want. This is your state government, and what happens here matters now more than ever before. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, just 1 year before the official beginning of the gay 90s. Thank you for your time.